Well, folks, in a few short moments, we're going to be starting our baptisms. Some of you may have been to baptismal services at other churches before, but at the church here, we practice what's called full immersion. We believe in getting people right down under the water and back up. It's part of this tradition. And very simply speaking, baptism acts as a sign, as a symbol for what has been done for us. The going under the water, the initial movement, it speaks of death, actually, of Christ's death on a cross. But it also speaks of resurrection, of Jesus coming back to life, taking back his life. And in a sense, in baptism, what the candidates are doing is they're tying their lives to Jesus. They're saying that they're placing their faith and their trust and their hope in him, that what was done to and for Jesus one day will be done to and for them as well. They are attaching their life to the power of Jesus' resurrected life. The Bible says a number of things about baptism, and I want to share a couple of verses from a book called The Letter to the Romans in chapter 6. And this is what the letter says. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And we see in that reading the pattern of Scripture. Death leading into new life. And in a sense, in baptism, we're getting a little bit of a foretaste of what our Scripture's promise is our future. We're going to hear some words of testimony from the candidates today. And it'll be great to hear a little bit about their stories, what's happened in their lives to lead them up to this point. But we say at the very, very beginning that baptism is first and foremost about Jesus. It's about him first and us second of all. And in particular, baptism is about the good news that is associated with Jesus. And we believe here at this church that it is good news. I think we could say amen to that, couldn't we? We believe that it's good news. We have, as people, as households, as families, we have been impacted and transformed by the goodness of Jesus Christ and his gospel. But the gospel itself, this good news that we proclaim, it's not just a set of good instructions or some good life advice. That is contained therein, but it's not principally about it. It's about what God himself has achieved for you and I, actually for the whole world in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in the gospel, it's not only the offer of personal forgiveness, though that's what's going to be focused upon today. The gospel is a personal invitation, and we receive it as a personal invitation. It's not only the rescue of people from judgment, the time in our lives where we need to take account for how we have lived in. The Bible speaks of that. But the gospel is, in its grandest terms, the Bible says, the renewal of God's relationship with his people and the beginning of the restoration of all things. We live in a world that is cut through with goodness and glory, but corruption and pain. And we feel it often in our own lives in equal measure. But the gospel is God's declaration that evil and wickedness and darkness won't have the final word. That goodness overcomes, that love wins, and that Jesus has effected that on our behalf. And that's why I think it is good news. But baptism, in terms of the place that it plays in faith communities, well, Christians have been doing this for centuries. We are not the first group of Christians to baptize people, plunging them in and out of the waters. In fact, it has been an important rite of passage as such since the very, very beginning. And quite simply, it's the way whereby an individual, a person, and sometimes an entire household comes to take their place in the household of God. It's a wide open invitation to join the family. But there's nothing that you have to attain in order to go into those waters. It's a free gift of invitation and acceptance into God's household. And baptism has always been the way whereby communities of Christians have welcomed new people into the household. And in a sense, today with John and Liz and Danielle, you're already part of the household here, but we're kind of giving you the thumbs up, the affirmation, the confirmation that you're part of the household, a full member of it, all sons and daughters. But these guys are also signifying something about their own lives and their own intention going into the future. And this is about our allegiance and our identity. In baptism, the people who are being baptized, they signal something publicly. And what they're signaling is that their allegiance to Jesus is the new primary allegiance in their life. And they have a commitment to have their identity, who they actually are, formed by him. It's a reordering of priorities. It's a reordering of identity. And so in baptism, we're not recruiting Jesus to the cause of our life, though we experience him championing us. But something much more fundamental is happening. Jesus is recruiting his people to his cause, giving them a new way of living, remaking people in his own image. And the guys in baptism are simply saying, I'm cooperating with what Jesus intends to do in and through my life. The reading at the beginning said that we are baptized into Jesus. And amongst the many things that that means, it means that we are baptized into his cause, his mission. We're baptized into his way of doing things. And finally, baptism is a celebration. I hope if you're a visitor amongst us this morning, you will have caught the air and the note of celebration in the air. It might be a little bit strange as well if perhaps you haven't been to church at all or for a long time to see all these people clapping, firing their hands up in the air, singing madly and sometimes out of tune. But we do it with a note of celebration because we think that this is one of the most important moments of life for the people who are being baptized. So it's a celebration, and myself, Sarah, and Eddie, we're going to be baptizing the guys in the pool in a few short moments. But we do so on behalf of you all. This is a community affair, a family initiative. And today, we simply have the privilege of doing it on behalf of you, the community of faith. So with that being said, John is going to be first into the pool. But he's going to share a few words about his life, his story, and what has brought him to this moment and this time and place. So John, make your way to the platform. Give him a little round of applause as he makes his way forward. Over to you, John.
Thank you, Stefan. Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is John. I normally try and hide myself away in the corner over there. Unsuccessfully. Today I've decided to dedicate my life to following Jesus, my Lord and Saviour. Like most stories in life, mine starts with a good woman. A few years ago, my wife Ellen started taking our son Jacob to the family time group. From there, she started coming to the Sunday services. As time went on, I became curious. When we talked in the evenings after Jacob went to bed, I would ask about church, and Ellen would tell me about the sermons and some of the charity work the church did. Eventually, my curiosity got the better of me, and I started coming as well. I soon wondered why I'd resisted for so long. I loved the atmosphere, the community spirit, and the charitable works this church is built on, and felt an acceptance, a place that I belong. My path to baptism and opening my heart to God began almost a year and a half ago, though looking back further, I can now see more of God's influence on my life. For the last couple of years, my grandpa and I had become closer. I came to know him not just as a grandparent, but as a man, as a friend, something I thank God for every day. We used to play snooker once a week, then offer egg and chips and half a bit of shandy each. During these times, we would talk of everything, including church and God. He gave me a different insight into God, and our bond became stronger than ever. Unfortunately, a little after New Year's Day 2018, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Being 89, he showed a great inner strength, with his faith playing no small part, and a full acceptance of the situation, even going so far as to take the doctor at his word on the diagnosis, and writing in his diary, dead next month. However, he proved the doctors and his diary wrong, and we had many a joyous meeting afterwards. Fast forward a couple of months, and one morning, I just dropped my son Jacob off at school. I had a couple of hours to spare until I was supposed to meet up for lunch with my grandfather. But I suddenly had a feeling, go and see him now. I couldn't explain why. I hadn't done so before. But when I got to his flat, I found my aunt on the phone to the doctors, as my grandpa had lost the use of his leg. Thankfully, I was there for him, and my aunt could now go to work knowing that he wasn't on his own and that I was with him. Long story short, after an assessment by the doctor and me running around like a headless chicken, gathering clothes and medicines into a suitcase, we were in the back of an ambulance heading to the Churchill Hospital in Oxford. Sitting with him later in the ward, it struck me, why did I go down early? At that moment, I knew that God had sent me to my grandpa in his hour of need, to be with him. That was the first day I gave my first true prayer of gratitude that I was there. We held hands and talked and prayed until it was time for me to go. Thankfully, we had a few months and many meetings more. In August of last year, Ellen, Jacob and I went on a cruise to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. Before we went, I made sure to say goodbye to my grandpa, just in case the worst should happen. Ellen, Jacob and I had a fantastic holiday exploring the Baltics and 10 wonderful years together. When we got back, Mum told me my grandfather had taken a turn for the worse, and so we went to see him. The nurses said he had lost all power of speech, and it wouldn't be long until the end. So I took his hand and told him I was home. I saw a light in his eyes that hadn't been there before. I told him of our adventures and just sat with him, holding his hand. But before I left, I stood up, and still holding his hand, I prayed, God bless you, Grandpa, and keep you safe. Don't worry, you'll be with Grandma soon. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the friendship. Just know that I love you. Now, what happened next proved to me God's love and compassion. My grandfather had lost the use of his voice completely, we were told. But he gripped my hand harder than ever before, looked me in the eye, and said loudly and clearly, I love you too. Later that night, I fell to my knees, thanking God for this gift. Sadly, in the morning, we were told that it had passed. Thank you, God, for our time together. It was after this, one Sunday, at the end of a service, I felt my knees grow weak and felt a voice telling me to get down on my knees. So I prayed, and as I prayed, I heard one word, not in my head as usual, but in my heart. Baptism. Over the coming weeks and months, this remained with me and grew stronger. Unfortunately, it had to take a second place in my life for a while as I began to lose my struggle with stress and anxiety and grief, leading to me to taking time off work. It was during this time that Stefan offered me a chance to grab a coffee and go for a walk for an hour. Well, 3.5 hours walking and talking, and one decent strong prayer later, it helped me to unburden myself and set me onto a path of healing and back on track to be baptized. Thank you, Stefan. That day, I felt God's hands through you as he got us together, another example of God's love to me. Fast forward again a couple of months, and Stefan asked me again about baptism. I said I would think on it. That night, I talked to Ellen. When I woke, I knew I was ready. I didn't need to think on it in my usual way, looking at it from every angle, tearing it to pieces. I knew this was right, felt right, and there was no anxiety about it. God had shown me the way. I am ready.
Great words, John. We're just hoping this pool's big enough. I've recruited the biggest, strongest guy in this church as well to help me with the task. But John, just a few questions before we baptize you. But John, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend and your Savior?
I do.
Do you accept his invitation and his offer of forgiveness?
I do.
And do you commit to follow him all the days of your life?
I do.
Okay, John, well, on confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Is it on? Wow, the John was often awesome. I'm reminded of a hymn, John. I shan't sing it unless I lock the door to stop people going out, obviously. The hymn's this. It says, Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and all I have and all I ever hope to be. It's all for Jesus, I am free. John, this day, you are free. You're free in Christ. And my scripture for you is this, that it says in the Bible, neither angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things past, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, will ever separate you, John, from the love of Christ. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. Thanks, John. Over to you, Sarah.
So this is Liz's testimony. I didn't really have any faith because I didn't know what to believe. I started coming here about a year ago, and from coming to church and starting to pray around about 6 months ago, my life started to turn around for the better, and it was then that I began believing in Jesus. I'm starting to understand the Bible more, and when I heard about the baptism service, I knew that I needed to respond and go for it. Over Easter, I watched a TV series about the story of Jesus and watched when John baptized Jesus. Today, I am choosing to make a public confession that I have accepted Christ in my life and I am turning away from my old way of living and stepping into the new life I can have in Christ. Give Liz some encouragement as we go to the pool. Hello. Here we are then. So, Liz, you've already said in your testimony what it is that you want to do, so we're just going to go straight ahead and baptise you. I'm just going to ask you some questions first. You've confessed this already, but could you just do it for us now in terms of, do you repent of your sins and your old way of living?
Yes, I do.
And do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do, yeah.
And do you choose to follow him and be obedient to him with the help of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Brilliant. Okay, so on the confession of your faith, Liz, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And Liz, while I've been spending time praying for you over these last couple of weeks, I felt that this scripture just kept coming to me. It's in Isaiah 61, and I'm just going to read you a portion of it, but this is what God is saying to you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, it says, is on me, but it's on you, Liz, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I just want to pray for you now, Liz, if it's okay for us to pray. Yeah, Father, I just thank you for that word for Liz. I thank you that you're going to give her everything that she needs to be who you've called her to be and who you've made her to be. I pray, Lord, that she will hold to scripture at times when she feels like she might be wavering, that you are her strength and her shield. And Father, I pray that us as a community of believers will be faithful in supporting Liz in her discipleship, in following you, Jesus, and growing into everything that you have for her. Just ask that you bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Liz. I've known Liz for obviously a few years, and you could say there's many paths in life, but I believe that Liz has chosen the one true path, the right path that leads to God through Jesus Christ. And Liz, I just pray a blessing on you, and I just pray that you keep your eyes focused on him. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And now please welcome Danielle as she comes up to share her testimony.
Hi.
Hello.
As a young child, I went to the Salvation Army with my nan, but stopped going when she got ill. Then as a teenager, I completely forgot about God and the little I had learned about the Bible. Then 7 years ago, I went through a custody battle, which was the worst experience of my life. At the time, I lived opposite a Christian who took me under their wing and supported me through the custody battle. He told me about Jesus and how much he loved me and how Jesus would give me the strength to get through all the court dates and the confidence to represent myself. During this time, I read my Bible a lot and would meditate on scripture like Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. This kept me strong and sane. As before this, the way I would handle my problems would be running to alcohol, which is a common problem with women in my family. God really helped me through this time. I felt so comforted by his word, and I believed every word of it. One of the best things about accepting Jesus Christ as my saviour was how shocked people were of the change in me, as I really was terrible, and even old friends and family members have wanted to do the same, as they knew it had to be the power of God that changed me. The reason I want to be baptized today is because Jesus did it and also commanded that we should also. This is my opportunity to die symbolically to self and be resurrected as a loving and compassionate follower of Jesus Christ, of Jesus, to take off the old and put on the new.
Hang on, we're going to do some questions. I've just realised that I love your T-shirt. It says game on because you had your... Yeah, the game is on. It's just beginning. And so just before we, you know, put you in the water, so to speak, Danielle, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord?
I do.
And as your testimony has said, are you choosing to leave your old way of doing things and seeking to live the way that God intended you to live?
I am.
Brilliant. So you believe in Jesus Christ, yeah, the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're going to baptize you now.
So
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Danielle, we baptize you now in his name.
Go on, Danielle.
And Danielle, this is the scripture that God has given me for you, actually, with the help of a friend. I just felt, as I've been praying for you, that God has been saying that you're a woman of influence. And actually, by your testimony, you say that, you know, since you've given your life over to Christ and been following him, that some of your friends and family have been showing an interest in why this has happened and you're willing to tell them. And I just want to read from Matthew 5. This is in the Message version, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, but it's about salt and light. And so I'm going to read this to you, and I think this is God for you, okay? Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. You're not going to do that. It's saying if you lose your saltiness, that's what's going to happen. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So let me just... Do you want to pray for Danielle? But can I too? Because I just, yeah, Father, I just thank you for Danielle, that she's chosen to walk in the light, that she's chosen to follow you. And Father, I pray that you would protect her on her path and keep her on that path that leads to life and that leads to love and that leads to light. And Father, I pray that she will know that you will give her everything that she needs, even the words, to be able to talk to other people about you, about your goodness and your love and what you've done in her life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord, and keep her safe. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's basically all about Jesus. I always say to this is, Danielle, is keep your eyes focused on Christ. For the only time when Peter stepped out of the boat, he started to sink. It's when he took his eyes off Jesus. So just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And this just comes to me about a couple of seconds ago. It says, when you go through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon your flesh. For I am the Lord your God. May the Lord bless you, Danielle.
God bless you. Amen. Awesome.